Hello everyone, I'm Shruti Kamat, the podcast host. Welcome back to a new episode of season 2 of the podcast. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. And to others, welcome back and thank you so much for your support. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys and on Twitter at InfoSec Journeys. Before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to announce the podcast has partnered with B-Sides Singapore, which is on the 22nd September 2023, and B-Sides Ahmedabad, which is on 6th October 2023. You can find the registration details of the conference in the episode description. Today with us, we have Anshuman Bhartiya. Welcome to the season 2 of the podcast, Anshuman. It's lovely having you here, finally able to meet. So in your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. First of all, hi Shruti, and thank you so much for inviting me to this podcast. I'm excited to be here. As far as, you know, my journey, so and my background, I'm Anshuman. I've been in this industry, in information security industry, for about a decade, maybe more, 12, 13 years or so. Basically, my story goes back, way back, like 15, 20 years ago. And I'm sure most of the folks around that time had heard about Ankit Phadia, right? Like, he was one of, like, the most, I don't want to call respected, but just kind of one of the most well-known hackers out there. And I knew about him as well, and you know, I was very intrigued about this world of hacking and whatnot. So I knew that I wanted to do something in this field, just because I realized I had that curiosity about knowing things, about breaking things, and about just kind of asking a bunch of questions about why things work the way they do. So I think for me it was a pretty natural, you know, like, field to be in, because I was just interested in this from the starting, and it just so happened that I had folks I could follow, and then I just kind of paved my career so that I could do something in this field, right? So I did my undergraduate back in India, did my bachelor's in computer science, and then I came to the US and did my post-graduation MS from Arizona State University. And when I was doing my master's here, I had a bunch of security courses. So, you know, like things like cryptography and software security and information assurance. So all those courses, you know, so that's when I realized that, you know, this is it, right? Like, I just enjoyed all of the courses, and just their assignments and all of that stuff were very interesting. And they were all real world related, right? So I didn't have a lot of industry experience. So I kind of thought that it would make sense for me to try something in this field. But back then, this is around 2008 or so, I think US was going through a recession. There weren't any jobs, and security jobs, so to speak, required clearance and green card and whatnot. So I struggled quite a bit to get anything in the security field. So I just started off as a cloud security consultant at a small company called Axway back in 2010, I believe. And then back then, AWS was also coming in the scenes. So, like, folks were transitioning their on-prem services and applications to AWS. So I learned quite a bit about, you know, just kind of cloud providers in general. And security wasn't a big thing back then, but I obviously had some experience in the security field from an academic perspective. And then I sort of worked on AWS, you know, on real-world applications. So I could see how this could be a big thing, right? And then just from there onwards, you know, I just kind of tried to look for security-focused jobs. And then I worked for Cigital. It's now Synopsys. But I worked as a security consultant. And that was basically my entry into this world. And from there onwards, I've worked for multiple product companies. I worked for EMC, Intuit, Atlassian, 30 Madison, Mona. So I've worked across a bunch of companies, both big and small. I recently joined Lyft. I've been here about 15, 20 days now. So I'm still pretty new, but I really enjoy the world of, you know, securing products, seeing them built securely from the ground up, right? Whole SDLC, and I think some of my software engineering background definitely helps there. So yeah, I think that's like I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's like kind of a very quick overview of my journey. If there's anything of interest, I'm happy to go deep into that.
All right. So it's more, it was more like a conscious choice that you made rather than an accidental discovery into InfoSec.
Yeah, I always knew I want to do something in security, and yeah, so absolutely.
Okay. Oh,
For me
that's really
personally, it
good.
was a conscious choice. Yeah.
Okay. That's really good. So looking back, how does it feel like the journey has been?
I consider myself very fortunate to have made some of the right decisions in my career. Because looking back, like security wasn't really a big thing, right? There was no bug bounty. There was literally no cloud security even. It was just kind of security in general, right? I remember like Facebook came up with a bug bounty program much after that, and I think that's when like bug bounties became a thing, and so that's when people started getting interested. But yeah, I think I just stuck to my passion basically, and I think I enjoy what I do on a daily basis, and I think that's why I'm sort of happy where I am right now. And yeah, I think I made the right choices, at least like some of them, if not like all of them.
All right, that's good to know. It's always a good feeling looking back at your journey and feeling good about it. So while you've been working in the industry, right, what has been some of the learnings and challenges that you faced?
So, like coming from an academic background, right, where I did my master's, I took security courses. And then working in the real world, right, where you actually have security problems, I think they're very different, obviously, right? Like the things I learned back in school about cryptography, right? I don't even use those concepts. Like, yeah, sure, there's some concepts about asymmetric versus asymmetric cryptography and all of that, but when you go into the details, I don't deal with them on a day-to-day basis, right? So, I think that has been one of my learnings is, things are actually very different in the real world, right? And unless and until you start playing with it hands-on, you actually start looking into applications, you start trying to read code and understand how applications work, how distributed systems work, right? I mean, it just kind of opens this whole new world where you realize that there's so much more than just kind of security, right? Like first you have to understand what distributed systems are, how they work, what software engineering in general is. What are algorithms, what are data structures, right? And then and only then I feel like you could use your security skill sets on it, right? Because I've seen folks trying to force themselves into this industry and they fail miserably just because they don't have the background. They don't make the extra effort to, sort of learn about the basic principles. So that has been my learning, and that is something I am pretty vocal about. I share quite often is don't force yourself to be in this industry. First, learn about the basics. Kind of just learn how HTTP works, like to give you a very real example, right? And then figure out what kind of security vulnerabilities are there, like cross-site scripting, whatnot. So I think that's one thing is just kind of focus on the basics. I think the second thing is, obviously there's the offensive side and there's a defensive side, right? I've worked on both sides. I've been on the red teams. I've been as a bug bounty hunter, right? And I've also been on teams where we had our own bug bounty program where we maintained everything. So we saw the submissions come through, right? So, and I feel like on the offensive and defensive side, they don't quite understand each other. And because of that, like, there are huge gaps wherein the offensive side might think, like the defensive side is not really doing a good job and they can just infiltrate systems, whereas that's not the reality, right? Vice versa, on the defensive side, they would feel like their defenses are very strong and there's no attacker that could infiltrate the systems, and all it takes is one weakness, right? So I've seen big just kind of differences in philosophical approaches and just kind of understanding how systems work on both sides. And I feel it's important to experience both the sides to sort of form a unbiased opinion and sort of learn from those experiences, right? That's something I've learned over my career. Third is not so much technical, but more so, like a soft skill kind of a thing is security is a pretty small industry. And the more people, it really helps in your career, right? Also, Security problems are actually pretty challenging and interesting problems. So if you have an idea of like solving a security problem, that could be generic and that could apply to multiple companies. At least I try to do this is I try to solve it in a way that I can give back to the community, right? In other words, if you go to my GitHub profile, you'll see that I've open sourced a bunch of tools. And I've been doing this for the past 5, 6 years, right? And that's because, again, I realized there's a problem at hand, and I think I can solve it. I have an idea of how to solve it. I can build a tool around it. And I also feel like this problem could exist in other companies. So why not just kind of make it open source and give back, right? So, and most of my career moves, most of you know, like my journey has been around these tools and things that I've given back to the community. Because folks recognize you, they see you for your work, they value your opinions, right? Just because they've seen your work. So I think that is huge. And I say this to pretty much everybody I meet is, you should give back to the community and, OWASP and, they have such great tools and frameworks, whatnot. So I'm a big advocate for anything OWASP. Yeah, those are the things I can think of the top of my head.
Yep. I think that's a very important learning I've had as well. Like, communities really help you grow, and it's always a good practice to give back to the community as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So do you want to talk a little bit about the work that you have been currently working on, or is there anything specific that you want to share with our listeners?
Sure. So I joined Lyft, like I mentioned, probably 20, 25 days ago. So I'm still pretty new. I'm still exploring what I need to work on here. But prior to joining Lyft, I worked for this healthcare startup called 30 Madison. And I bootstrapped their product security program. I've actually blogged about my experiences pretty extensively about, how could somebody go about building a product security program from the scratch. Like, imagine you're the first security engineering hire on a team, and you're just asked to do this. How do you do that? Where do you start? So I've blogged about some of those experiences, with at least my experience about how can you get started in a way that is scalable, that would actually have impact in the company, and that would reduce the risk. I think reducing risk is something that most companies, I think most C-levels care for. Like if the security team is working on things that is actually reducing risk or not, right? And I feel like that aspect is not well understood by a lot of folks who are just getting started in this industry, right? Their view is about finding vulnerabilities and trying to get them fixed, right? They need to think more about why do they need to get something fixed in the first place? Like, how does it impact a company, right? So if anybody's interested, they can go and read my blogs. But I learned quite a bit in that 1 year. I worked at 30 Madison for a year. And prior to 30 Madison, I hadn't built a product security program, so to speak, from the scratch. I had worked on different functions, right? Like, I'd implemented SaaS in other companies. I'd implemented pen testing practices and whatnot. But kind of building a program from the scratch, you have to think about quite a few things, right? Like, what does the roadmap look like? Who will be your key stakeholders? What kind of relationships you need to build? How are you going to show your impact, right? What are the KPIs, metrics, all of those things? So this it's a very holistic kind of a view that one should have in order to be successful at it. So yeah, I'm happy to go deep into anything specifically, but I feel like I can just keep going on and on. That won't be fruitful.
I'm pretty sure it must have been a really good experience building a security program from the scratch, right? I think what I'll do is I'll share the blog link as part of the episode description. So whoever's interested can go back to reading about it.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that.
All right. So do you also want to share a little bit about the communities that you have been associated with, and what is that you love about them? I know you mentioned about OWASP, but is there anything else that you've been working with and something that you love about them you can share?
Yeah, so even with OWASP, I hate to say this, but I'm not really an active contributor. Like I don't think I've ever contributed code to any of the OWASP tools and frameworks, but it's just something that I follow, and something I just kind of value a lot because I know it is the result of folks working outside of the workplace to kind of build this community, right? So I do value everything that comes out of it. So I won't necessarily say that I'm associated with that community, but I kind of follow OWASP, right? Outside of that, there's, again, it's not really a community, but there's this thing called Bug Bounty Forum. It's like a Slack channel. I know quite a few folks who are on that Slack channel. But so this channel is basically something that was started by some of the OGs of the bug bounty industry, right? So Nahamsek, and you know, there's a few others, S Medias. I don't remember all the names, but and I've been a part of this industry since the beginning. Like, you know, since Buckrout started, I was like one of the first security researchers on the platform. So I have some good fond memories from this industry. I've made some awesome friends. You know, like we used to go to conferences and used to go to parties and whatnot in Vegas, and yeah, it was a blast, right? So I think the bug bounty industry is pretty dear to me. I often, more often than not, you'll find me criticizing bug bounty researchers on Twitter, but you have, just know that my intentions are all good, because I also used to be a bug bounty hunter at some point and whatnot. So again, it's not really a community, but it feels like a community in a way, right? If you know what I mean. Let me think, is there any other communities?
Yeah.
No, not really. There's one other thing. Again, not really a community, but there's a Slack channel again. It's called RANDS, R-A-N-D, RANDS Leadership Slack channel, right? So where the idea is that anybody could join that, but I think the focus is more on staff plus engineers across multiple companies. So if you wanted to meet a different company's staff engineer, you could join the Slack channel and they'll hook you up with, you know, whoever, random person. So I've had some pretty good conversations with different folks at different companies, and I've learned quite a bit from those conversations.
All right, that's good to know. So this season, we have actually started something called the rapid round questions. So it's more like a one-liner answer that you can give. So let's get started. So if not for InfoSec, which profession would you have chosen and why?
Woodworking, like basically make in India, my parents would call me a carpenter, right? In the US, it's like woodworker. It's a more fancier term. So, and why it's because I realized I really enjoyed doing that during COVID. That used to be my pastime. So, yeah.
All right. That sounds like an interesting profession. So, what is your source of motivation that keeps you going?
Just my curious nature of wanting to know things, the why they are the way they are.
Yeah, I think curiosity takes us all a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next one is, what is that one thing you love and one thing you dislike about InfoSec?
Yeah, one thing I love about InfoSec is the fact that it's a very community-driven industry, right? Like we've seen tools like Nuclei, right? And the whole bug bounty industry, it's all community-based. One thing that I don't like about InfoSec is the whole cancel culture, so to speak, right? Like folks who've been in this industry for quite a few decades, years, they don't really, you know, welcome the newbies, at least from what I've seen. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. I actively try to stand against that. So, yeah, that I don't like.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So what are some of the trends that you see in InfoSec?
Some trends I've seen in InfoSec is off late, the focus has been more on shifting left, right? Like for a company that actually, which is a good thing, is trying to hire product security engineers, application engineers that know how to code, and they try to get security early on. The other thing is the focus on the attack surface management platforms. I think they're called ASMs or something. There's so many new companies just trying to come up with their own secret sauce of how to find all the assets, right, externally. That is something I've seen trending quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I think I just have the last question of this episode. That is, what is your advice for people who are starting out and for people who are in the security industry?
Yeah, I have a few of them. The first one is obviously learn how to code. I think that's like a no-brainer for me. That's something I did. That's something I feel I helped me quite a bit. So if you are in this industry or if you want to be in this industry, I think learning how to code could go a long way. I think the second thing is just kind of it's okay to fail and just kind of keep trying, right? So again, if you identify a problem that you feel like could exist at scale across multiple companies, just kind of start working towards it. And you know, even if it means small steps, that's fine. You're gonna fail quite a bit, but I think the journey, the learning experiences, you're gonna have the connections you're gonna build, they are gonna be very important. I think those two would probably be my biggest advice.
All right. Thank you so much for that lovely advice. And thank you so much for taking time to be here on this podcast and share your insights and your experience. It was lovely having you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
That was it for today, listeners. I hope you enjoyed learning about Anshuman's journey. In case you want to reach out to him, you can find him on Twitter and LinkedIn. I have shared his details in the episode description. Also, you can now leave a review for each episode on the Spotify app. So do let us know what your thoughts are on this episode. And if you're an Apple Podcast user, then don't forget to leave us a review there. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.